It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
What I've found is that when you tell your story to people, even if it's on a one-on-one basis, I mean, it's even better if it's on a one-on-one basis, but when I've been able to... When somebody tells me you're an illegal alien, right? And we've gotten many people telling our face, and we're like, okay, we got over it. But when they tell us that, and when they tell us we need to get deported or whatever it is, when we sit down with those folks, or we even have 1 minute to tell them our stories and to tell them, you know what, I am a human being just like you, and perhaps we have a lot in common. Let's talk about it.
On October 23rd, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and the Legal Aid Justice Center presented an event on immigration reform at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn why poverty has become mainstream in America. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 220, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Few topics in American society have more myths and stereotypes than poverty. They include the notion that poverty affects a relatively small number of Americans, that the poor are impoverished for years at a time, that most of those in poverty live in inner cities, that too much welfare assistance is provided, and that poverty is ultimately a result of not working hard enough. Each assumption is flat out wrong. According to Mark Rank, professor of social welfare at Washington University, the percentage of the population that directly encounters poverty is high. Nearly 40% of Americans between the ages of 25 and 60 will experience at least 1 year below the official poverty line, and 54% will spend a year in poverty or near poverty, which is below 150% of the poverty line. If we add in related conditions like welfare use, near poverty, and unemployment, 4 out of 5 Americans will encounter one or more of these events. Half of all American children will, at some time during their childhood, reside in a household that uses food stamps for a period of time. Put simply, poverty is a mainstream event experienced by a majority of Americans. The typical pattern is for an individual to experience poverty for a year or so, get above poverty for an extended period of time, and then perhaps encounter another spell at a later point. Events like losing a job, having work hours cut back, experiencing a family split, or developing a serious medical problem all have the potential to throw people into poverty. Only about 10% of those in poverty live in extremely poor urban neighborhoods. Poverty can be found in urban, suburban, small towns, and rural areas. 2/3 of those below poverty identified themselves as white, a number that has held rather steady over the past several decades. Contrary to popular belief, the American social safety net is extremely weak and filled with gaping holes. The U.S. is one of the few developed nations that does not provide universal health care, affordable child care, or reasonably priced low-income housing. As a result, Our poverty rate is approximately twice the European average. Finally, the common explanation for poverty emphasizes a lack of motivation, failure to work hard enough, and poor decision-making in life. But Professor Rank's research shows that the vast majority of the poor have worked extensively and will do so again. Poverty is ultimately a result of failings at economic and political levels rather than individual shortcomings. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. On October 23rd, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and the Legal Aid Justice Center presented an event on immigration reform at the Hippodrome Theater. Panelists included Delegate Jennifer McClellan, DREAM activist Erica Andiola, LAJC attorney Mary Bauer, CVLAS attorney Palma Pastelnik, and LAJC community organizer Edgar Aranda. The Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show was there, and here is the opening of the presentation.
Behind every bill, behind every vote, behind every news story, behind every 30-second soundbite for or against is a person who is directly affected by what we do. This is not just a national issue. This is a local issue that affects young people and families right here in our communities. Before DACA became available, Jonathan was not very motivated in school and didn't know if he would graduate. When DACA became available, he got more engaged in his classes and graduated from Huguenot High School this year. He is now in an apprenticeship program with Rolls-Royce, where he works at the company's manufacturing facility in Prince George, while they pay for him to continue his studies at John Tyler Community College. Jonathan, are you here?
Thank you.
Jonathan, what is your dream?
Well, my dream is to honor my mom's sacrifice and her hard work for bringing me here so I can accomplish the dream that, you know, that she had when she was in our country. To come here and live a better life, to be able to come here and raise my kids here, have grandchildren, and, you know, this is my mom, by the way, please.
Thank you, Jonathan. May Lee came to the United States from Mexico around age 13, and she is a high school graduate. May Lee and her husband have three U.S. citizen children born here in Virginia, ages 9, 5, and 3. She applied for deferred action with the help of a volunteer in 2012. When U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services requested additional information, she contacted the Legal Aid Justice Center for help and completing her application. And in June of 2013, her DACA application was granted. Since getting DACA, May Lee has been able to get work authorization and a Virginia driver's license, and she recently began working as a teaching assistant at a Charlottesville area elementary school. May Lee, are you here? May Lee, what is your dream?
Well, my dream is to get a better life for me and for my kids and give a better life for my mom. And as Jonathan said, our parents made a big sacrifice bringing us here. So I want her to have her own house and so she doesn't have to work anymore.
Thank you. And Eliseo is May Lee's brother. He hasn't had much time yet to process what DACA may mean for him. He received his DACA approval just 2 days ago. Eliseo is married with two young children. His wife is a lawful permanent resident, and his children are U.S. citizens. And until this week, he and his family lived in fear that he could be separated from his wife and children at any time. Eliseo is working hard towards his GED. He has many job skills, and with his DACA approval in hand, he is optimistic that his employment prospects have just improved dramatically. Alessio, are you here? What is your dream?
Well, my dream is to become a Navy SEAL.
All right. We are also fortunate tonight to have with us one of the stars of the film you just saw, Miss Erica Andiola. Please join me in welcoming Erica.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. Every time I see these movies, it's just, I've seen it like probably 15 times already, but every time, it's just amazing to see the power of our movement. And I want to start by telling you how I came into this movement. I have two amazing inspirations that I think got me to the point of fighting for my mom in that way. One, of course, is it's her, right? She brought me here when I was 11, and she did it because of love, because she saw that living with a man that was not respecting her, that was, you know, hitting her and us was not the right thing to do. And she was an amazing, strong woman that decided to run away from the domestic violence and come to this country. She has taught me so much. And another inspiration that sort of started in college, right after, as you saw in the movie, after Proposition 300, and they took away our scholarships. We're about 300 undocumented students at the time at ASU, and we didn't know that we existed. Like, I just thought I was like the only undocumented person in the whole university. I really did. And oh no, I had a best friend too that was there that was undocumented. So I thought it was just us two. And one day, you know, we lost all of our scholarships. It didn't matter how hard we worked. And we were able to apply to a private one, right? And they all, the private scholarship got us together. And for the very first time, we kind of realized, we were in the same room, we were like, well, you must have applied because you didn't have a social. So that means you're also undocumented. And it was like some people that were in my class that I was just like, oh, you don't have papers either. Oh my God. It was just really amazing to see that other students were, I don't know if you can, were there, that were in my same situation. To me, it was amazing to find that out because I had gone through so much. I had gone through, you know, my mom, this wasn't the first raid that happened. She was raided before at work by our sheriff. We have a really bad sheriff in Arizona named Arpaio. And he had raided my mom's work in the past. Thank God we were fine, but that really, really upset me. And I was at the same time a college student. It was a really, really hard time in my life. And so just coming into a room of youth who were the same as me, who had the same fears, the same dreams, the same hard work that they were doing to keep going regardless of whatever was happening in Arizona, just really inspired me. And so we saw each other and we were like, well, you know, all of us are undocumented, so why don't we do something? This was around 2008. And so we decided to meet for the very first time. And that first meeting happened in a basement of ASU. And it had to be in a basement because we were all really scared that our Pio was going to come. And we were going to be in a room, you know, in the top. I don't know how the logic happened, but we were in a basement.
You've been listening to an event on immigration reform on October 23rd at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with panelist delegate Jennifer McClellan, DREAM activist Erica Andiola, LAJC attorney Mary Bauer, CVLAS attorney Palma Pistolnik, and LAJC community organizer Edgar Aranda at an event on immigration reform recorded on October 23rd.
And the very first item on the agenda was if we were going to take off the sign in the front door that said, Dream Scholars Meet Here. And we didn't know whether to take it off or leave it on because, you know, there was like a split room where we kind of like Democrats and Republicans right now. We couldn't decide whether we were going to leave the sign there because we were so scared. And so to me, just remembering that that was in 2008 and that at that point, that was the very first meeting, but we kept on meeting every week. We kept on talking about our stories. I would tell them about my mom. I would tell them about my family, my grandma that I left in Mexico that I really wanted to see, but I couldn't. And so this is how a movement started in Arizona. We decided to co-found the Arizona Dream Act Coalition. And this organization basically said, you know what? We were scared. We did take off the sign and the door at the end of the day. But in 2009, we saw some small glimmer of hope, like McCain said in the in the movie. And that hope was that the Dream Act was introduced. And so for us, it was one of the, you know, the best ways that we could actually push for something that was going to help us. And we were torn because we knew that it wasn't going to help our parents. But we thought that it was a good step. It was a good step forward that was going to help us as youth and that we could eventually work and be able to help our parents at home, which we couldn't do it. And so we decided to start working really hard. And eventually, we were so frustrated with what was happening in 2009, the politics, everything, that we said, you know what? We need to step it up. We need to change the narrative. We need to make sure that in the media, there's no longer people walking on the desert, just showing people walking in the desert that have like a backpack, you know, and saying that there's something weird in the backpack, right? Those were just our parents, maybe, walking on the border, that were just coming here for a good life, for a better life, or giving us a better life. And so we decided to come out of the shadows. In 2010, that's when I was really upset at that time because nothing was happening, and that's when we decided to get arrested and say, you know what, we're undocumented, we're unafraid. And at some point, we were like, we're unapologetic. We don't have to apologize for having a dream. We don't have to apologize for wanting to come to a country that we believe is an amazing country and that we think we can make it better. And so from there, you know, the Dream Act didn't pass. But what we learned is that we didn't necessarily at that point needed a legislative win. At that point, we did have a win. And that was our movement. We started an amazing youth movement that has moved, and that in 2011, even though President Obama said, we cannot do anything for you under my administration to give you work permits, we said, yes, you can, President. Yes, you can. And you know what? We made it happen. Last year, for the very first time, undocumented youth were able to push the president to come up with deferred action for childhood arrivals. And I can tell you that did not come from the president himself. That came from us, from the youth. And I will tell you that this year, we have a really big challenge. I mean, I have a double challenge. One is that we're almost at the end of the year, and we haven't passed immigration reform. And the other challenge is that in 2 months, my mom has to go back to immigration. With the first challenge, I think that I believe in our movement. And I believe that even we're going to push hard until the end. Of course, we are, and we have always done it. And no matter, you know, no matter what the outcome is at the end of this year, we know that we have one win, definitely, and that is that we're organizing our own parents. Our own parents now are coming out, and just like my mom, you saw her in the movie, she now, after this entire experience, she has come out and said, you know what, I'm also undocumented and unafraid. To me, that is one of the most amazing wins that we can get this year, regardless of the outcome. And I don't know what will happen in 2 months with my mom, but I will tell you that I believe in the power of my community. And the reality is that I will tell every single one of you that if you don't believe in organizing, if you don't believe in reaching out to your neighbor and telling them your struggle, then you should start believing in that because it's exactly what I did. I believed in my neighbor, I believed in my friends, and I believed in every single one of those youth that were sitting with me at the table in 2008. And that's where they have gotten me, to believe and to keep going regardless of what's happening this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Now I'd like to invite our other panelists to the stage in these comfy sofas. I'll introduce each of them and ask them some questions, and then we'll finish up with a few questions from the audience. You already know Erica, dream activist. I'd also like to introduce Palma Pilstilnik of the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, Edgar Aranda Yannick, community organizer for the Legal Aid Justice Center's Immigration Advocacy Program, and chairman of the Virginia Coalition for Latino Organizations, and Mary Bauer, the Legal Aid Justice Center's Director of Advocacy.
Well, I get a little scared. Honestly, what I've seen throughout this entire struggle and the fight, right, when we started the fight back in 2008, what I've found is that when you tell your story to people, even if it's on a one-on-one basis, I mean, it's even better if it's on a one-on-one basis, but when I've been able to, when somebody tells me you're an illegal alien, right, and we've gotten many people telling our face, and we're like, okay, we got over it, but when they tell us that, and when they tell us when you need to get deported or whatever it is, when we sit down with those folks, or we even have 1 minute to tell them our stories and to tell them, you know what, I am a human being just like you, and perhaps we have a lot in common. Let's talk about it. And that's how many times we can actually get folks to understand who we are and see us more of a in a human way, other than, you know, whatever it is that they're watching on the news.
Immigration status is a huge hurdle for people in accessing services, in accessing legal services, in accessing the courts. I can sit and watch the docket all day long in General District Court and see how many people are there for driving without a license because they're trying to work. They're paying taxes because it's being held out of their pay. They're contributing to our society, but they can't work legally. Our program has a statewide outreach program for documented workers who are on guest visas in farm labor. The vast majority of the work we do is with victims of domestic violence, and that's a huge piece of the picture of immigration in America, and it's a huge civil rights problem. And the fact that it's so hard for people who are undocumented to access services it's an embarrassment.
Edgar, what are some of the issues that are facing immigrants on the state level?
The thing is, today Erica spoke very eloquent about the deferred action for childhood arrivals, how they got this thing. But there is a problem. The DACA holders or the Dreamers in Virginia they don't have the benefit of the in-state tuition. It's a big issue, and we are going to fight this year. And thank you very much, Delegate McLean. You really helped us this year. So next year also we are going to ask this really your support, because it's a huge issue with our community. And also one of the biggest issues that is coming, we just had the Fourth Virginia Immigrant Advocate Summit in Annandale. So we have like 240 people came together, and we discussed one of the issues, which is the driver's license for undocumented people. It's a huge need. Today I came from Arlington, and I was driving very fast because the traffic was bad, and then I was late. And I said, what about if I don't have documents? So I have a little kid waiting at home. She's a little sick. And suddenly, I am going to be deported because I was a little late, driving a little faster, but everybody was driving fast, so I am an exception. So that's another issue. But there are several issues, and really, thank you, Legal Aid Justice Center. Thank you, many organizations. We are going to bring, hopefully, next year, this issue.
Just want to follow up on one thing Edgar said. We have had a state version of the DREAM Act introduced for several years, and this year, for the first time, it actually got out of a subcommittee of the House Education Committee because one of us knew the rules. We used a procedural trick to get a vote. It died in the full committee, but that is the farthest it's ever gotten, and that bill is going to be reintroduced this year. So you're going to have a call to action later. I'm going to give you a call to action right now to call your state delegate and senator and get all your friends to do the same and tell them to pass the Virginia DREAM Act as well.
You've been listening to an event on immigration reform on October 23rd at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. When there are more than 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S., something has to be done. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. for the second part of a two-part series, No Dream Deferred, an event on immigration reform at the Hippodrome Theater recorded on October 23rd. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.